Blog Talk Radio.
Basically, Barbara Streisand belting that tune out for the American Sports History Podcast, hosted by a brother, a mentor, and a friend, Peter Ray, out there in Cleveland, Ohio. Yours truly producing this in Los Angeles, Mark Mancini, 347-205-9631. If you want to catch this on an archive version, blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports, podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to podcasts, powered now by Mancini Media. So without further ado, more of him, less of me. Let me lay the red carpet, put the podium in its place, hand off the mic. Peter, the threes, how are you? How can people get a hold of you? And you're bringing a great legend through this show once again on this fabulous extravaganza that you have built.
Hi, Mark. I'm doing well. I have a YouTube channel. It's my name, Peter J. Rea. And you're absolutely right. Tonight's guest played Major League Baseball from 1995 to 2003 with the Minnesota Twins, Toronto Blue Jays, Cleveland Indians, and Baltimore Orioles. For his career, he hit .274, 122 home runs, 540 RBIs. He was 1995 American League Rookie of the Year. And in his second-year player, he had 111 RBIs. Welcome to the show, Mr. Marty Cordova.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good, good. Now, I've noticed that you had a lot of back injuries that hurt your career. Was that based on playing the outfield, trying to make diving catches and stuff like that, or stealing bases?
To be more specific, I had originally plantar fasciitis in my left foot after my second season. And that really, I was running to catch a, there was like a home run that was barely a home run. So I was sprinting as fast as I could in the Metrodome, and there's hard rubber at the warning track. It's not dirt. And so I jammed on the brakes and I hit my heel really hard, and it was very end of the season. And then I remember that really hurt. And then in the off season, I grew up in Vegas, and Dana White's one of my best friends. I've known him for 40 years. And he was boxing training people back then, from Floyd Mayweather to different fighters. And so he was training me to box, because I was using boxing to get in really good shape, because I was obsessed with being in the best shape I could be in. And as I was boxing training, I would spend 3 hours with 3 minutes on, 30 seconds rest from ring circles, hitting the mitts, doing all these different boxing drills. And my foot just wouldn't get better and better. It got worse and worse and worse. And then when I went to spring training that year, I was like having trouble walking, and ended up being, they gave me cortisone shots in that thing. Mark McGuire had the same injury, and it just kept getting worse and worse. And then finally, it took about, honestly, 3 years for it to completely tear, to where now I don't have an arch in my left foot and it's completely flat. And that really dampened my career. I'm not making any excuses. My career is what it was, and I'm happy for that. But I really had trouble running. I couldn't steal bases anymore. I wasn't as fast defensively, and just running out base hits and things. And I was just always in a lot of pain, and it wasn't always fun to play, because just standing, killed me. And I'd sleep in a night splint and then wake up in the morning when I take my first step, it would tear again. And this went on for like 3 years. So, it's part of the game. You get injuries and you have to deal with them.
Now, you had 1 year in Cleveland, which 2001, and that was, I'm a Cleveland Indians fan, long time. And that was the end of an era. The Indians were strong contenders from 1994 to 2001. And really, I'd really like to hear your what I like to talk to guys who played pro sports is their memory of teammates. And if I'll just give you some names here, and you can tell me whatever comes to mind. Now, your manager that year was Charlie Manuel. What do you remember about Charlie Manuel?
Well, first of all, that was one of my favorite teams to play for, if not my favorite, because we made the playoffs. That was the only year I did. But that being said, is I'd come off, and I'll get to Charlie while I'm telling this story, is I just came off of a down year with Toronto, and I didn't play much, and I ended up hitting like 250, and it back then that was a terrible batting average. And I signed a minor league deal and invite to spring training with the Indians, and I knew that was going to be my last chance. If I didn't make the team or do well, who knows, I might not play anymore in the major leagues. So I took it super seriously. I got there to spring training early. I was by far the first one to the field, hit extra on these machines. They had really cool state-of-the-art stuff there for the Indians, and I was doing vision training every day. I was hitting extra every day, just like a maniac. And what I really loved about Charlie was he's just a good fair guy. Like he's a big hitting guy. He was a hitting instructor. That was where he cut his teeth. And he really just loved hitters and hard workers. And he was like, you know, a little country guy. So it's so cool. And he's like, look, you keep hitting, I'll play you. You know, he had that, I'll play you. You hit, I'll play you. And I'm like, okay. So that spring training, I think I might have – I'm not joking. I hit the ball really hard like 9 out of 10 times. It was just one of those spring trainings. Like I just was so locked in because I did nothing but eat, sleep, and drink baseball. I was the first one there, like I said, last one to leave. I went home. I went right to sleep. I woke up at 5 in the morning. I mean, it was crazy how dedicated I was. That being said, I just was fortunate. I've been kind of fortunate in my career and fortunate in life that at the end of the season, Travis Fryman had to go on the DL. And so they were able to open up a spot for a week until CC Sabathia came back into the or there was an open spot because CC was going to miss his first start because he was a rookie. So I made the team, but I had only had like a week, and then CC was going to come back, and I was going to get sent down to the minor league. But during that week, he goes, Marty, if you keep hitting, I'll play you. I don't care what anybody says. I'm going to play you. I want to win. I'm going to play the best team. I don't care what anybody says. I'm playing you. So I just started crazy hot. And then I think it was then Travis Fryman did get hurt, and he went on the DL, so I was able to stay there more. And the first month I hit like 400, and he was just like, I would show up early. I'd hit with Jim Thome early every day with Charlie. Charlie loved hitting early on the field, and we just became cool. And he's like, again, as long as you hit, I will play you. I don't care what anybody says. It doesn't matter if you're not supposed to be here, if you were just an afterthought about making the team and nobody thought you'd do this. He goes, I want to win, and you're going to play. So, yeah, I love Charlie, by the way.
Now, I'm interested. Now, if it's okay, I'd like to go through your teammates from 2001, anything you remember, starting with Einar Diaz.
Einar was just a very, like, humble, sweet kid. He was very young. He was a very great defensive catcher. He hit ninth for us, and he was a great defensive throw guys out. If he got hits, great, but he was really there to manage the pitching staff. He was young, but all the pitching, especially Bartolo Colon, loved throwing to him. So he was, yeah, just a great guy. I have nothing but really great things to say about him. Very quiet, very humble guy.
Okay, another guy, Jim Thome.
Jim and I became very good friends. Ted Walsh was our equipment manager, and me, him, and Jimmy were very, very close. Jim is a character. There's so many Thomeisms, they call it, just things he would say, just off the wall stuff, you know, the thumb of rule. He'd just say things kind of wrong, or he's just such a nice guy. He didn't understand certain things that, you know, that he just was not naive anymore. He's just like an innocent guy, just such a, like, what's a steroid? You know, he didn't know what anything was. He just was like country strong, great guy, hard worker, hit extra every day. Just a great example. I really like Jimmy a lot.
Roberto Alomar.
Robbie was a different character. He was very quiet to himself. He was very unbelievably great player. I got to, I was so lucky to play behind Robbie Alomar at second and Omar Vizquel at short, and I was playing left field every day. Just to watch these two guys was, I've never seen anything like it ever, never in my career, never probably will be two guys like that. Just so talented, and Robbie could do it all. He's a little misunderstood, I think. He got kind of a bad rap, but I really thought Robbie's a nice guy, and I got along really well with him.
Omar Vizquel.
Same thing. I mean, I couldn't say it more. Omar was just the most talented shortstop. The guy was amazing. Actually, I didn't like him a whole lot when I played against him because the guy was always robbing people with hits. I remember I hit a chopper, and when I played in Toronto and Cleveland came to town, I hit like a high chopper pretty hard in the hole. and he ran over, jumped up in the air, caught it, and threw it while he was in the air and got me out by like a step. I'm like, Jesus, God, this guy's killing me. You know, he just would make those kind of plays on a lot of people. And just to watch him make bare hand plays at shortstop, it's just, the guy's ultra talented.
Travis Fryman.
Travis reminds me of like a military guy. He was by the book. He even had the military type haircut, just a really no-nonsense guy. He could hardly get him to smile. He was almost maybe a little too serious. He needed to smile and relax a little more, but he was just that hard-nosed type guy. He was rough when he played in Detroit, and then when he got over to Cleveland, he just very hard-nosed, hard-working, disciplined guy, no jokes. It was all business with him. Just a great player and a great guy, too. There wasn't anybody on the team I didn't really like.
Kenny Lofton.
Kenny and I are still friends to this day. I see him in golf tournaments. I just saw him in Vegas not too long ago. He's just another guy that got misunderstood a little bit by some people. I don't know. I have this personality. I kind of get along with everybody, and I just want to be cool with everybody. I don't care. Everybody has different personalities, different character types, and Kenny was Kenny. You know, he kind of thought people – a little bit of a chip on his shoulder that people didn't like him for some reason, but he was just he had a certain style of playing, and Kenny liked to – he was very cognizant of stats and things, and he wanted to put up good numbers, and that was real super important to him, and that kind of rubbed people the wrong way sometimes. Or he was just, you know, he just had a big personality. But I'll tell you what, there's not many guys more talented than him that ever played the game. And even when I play golf with him, the guy's crazy. The last golf tournament, he hit a hole-in-one. He plays golf like no other to this day. He still looks great. He looks in the same shape as when he played. I'm like, he's just a really, really super talented guy.
And you were in left field?
That's right.
So how was it playing, sharing the left side of the outfield with Kenny Lofton?
That's one thing, though, that I will say, and I would give him crap about it if I talked to him today about it, is I'd be, like, playing left field straight up or maybe even to the gap a little bit, and I'd be like, Kenny, hey, Kenny, come over here a little bit. You'd be playing, like, way over towards Juan Gonzalez in right field, and I was like, there's a lot of territory between me and him. Like, he didn't play straight up. He always played more towards right field. And I was like, dang, I got a lot of ground to cover, which I didn't mind. I love playing defense. But it was just he played really far to right field. And I'd be like, and then sometimes there would be a ball in the gap, and he'd look at me. And I'd be like, you looking at me? Okay, I'll go get it. But that was the only thing I would ever give him, bust him up a little bit about.
Juan Gonzalez.
A very, very quiet guy, very religious guy. He was very... You know, you don't really get to know Juan that well. He had a kind of his group of guys that he hung with that weren't players, that were around, and he was very protective of his. I don't want to say like his personality, but he just was very unbelievably great player and very smart, very very student, much a student of the game. People would think he was just a talented guy and that he went out there and hit, but he studied a lot. He really understood pitchers. He set pitchers up by taking pitches a lot the first pitch and waiting for his moments to attack. He had an unbelievably great eye at the plate. He knew the strike zone better than a lot of people, I mean, most people. And and actually was a very good defensive right fielder. Not a lot of people knew how good he was defensively because he just moved kind of slow when he walked around, and you would think that his heart wasn't into it. Some people thought he was lackadaisical, but he wasn't. He had an unbelievable arm, and he covered a lot of ground. I thought he was just one of the better players I've ever played with.
Ellis Burks.
We spoke about him before the show. Ellis and I became very good friends too. Just a classy guy, just a dude you want to be around. He just made the clubhouse. You know, he just make you smile because he was always in a good mood, and he was like an old veteran. He had bad busted up knees. He was getting his knees drained every other day. His just knees would swell up like crazy, and he'd be in pain all the time. But then he'd walk around and act like he was 100 years old. But then he'd hit 350 and hit big home runs, and you couldn't get the guy out. And it's just he could only DH when he was at that point in his career when I played, which is fine with me because I like to play the outfield rather than just DH and think about hitting as much. I could be distracted with that playing in the field. But, yeah, he was one of my favorite teammates of all time.
Russell Branyon.
Russell. Yeah, Russell and I were friendly because I was single when I played in my whole career, and he was single, so we kind of hung around a little bit at that aspect, went out. Him and Jacob Cruz, we kind of hung out a little bit. Tough kid. He liked to fight, liked to mix it up, kind of a cowboy cowboyish guy. I played the guitar, and he was picking up learning how to play the guitar, so we had that in common. He was just a – he'd be maybe today even more of a sought-after player because he was a guy that would swing and miss, and people didn't like that back when I played. If you struck out a lot and you hit home runs, they were like, don't hit home runs. You hit the ball and play. It was a different type game than it is now. So I think now if you hit 220 and you hit 35, 40 home runs, I mean, he'd be – that's what he would do. He could easily hit 220 and hit 35, 40 home runs every year if he didn't care if he struck out 200 times.
Holbert Cabrera.
Cabrera was like that utility Swiss Army knife. He could play every position, very good infielder. He would always, for some reason, Charlie liked to take me out for the ninth inning and put Cabrera in as defensive replacement in the outfield. And, you know, I don't say I didn't like it. I like to play defense, but I just knew that, like, if we were winning in the ninth inning, I was done 90% of the time. And that was, unless he was going into the infield or something, but yeah, he got some big hits. The game we came back against the Mariners when we were down by like 11, 12 runs, it was one of the biggest comebacks in the history of baseball. You know, he had some big hits in that game. He came in late as Charlie took out a lot of the starters very early and a lot of the backups who came back to win that game.
Will Cordero.
Another guy, very quiet, same type, very, you know, very mellow personality. I liked Will a lot. We were competitive because he was an outfielder too, and I was having a great year. And it's just, you know, it's respect for each other, but we're also fighting over the same amounts of plate appearances. So it's hard, you know, because I like everybody, but I want to compete and I want to be the best I can be. I've never hoped for other people to play poorly so that I could play. I just wanted them to play their best and me to be better. That's kind of how I worked. I always hoped the best for everybody. If somebody was playing and I wasn't that game, I didn't want them to strike out so that I would then get a chance to play the next day. I just said, when I get my chance, I want to be better than them.
Eddie Taubensee.
Another really country, cool dude, just a great guy. I think everybody on the team liked him. He was just a character, like as a little bit of a, not in any kind of derogatory way, redneck kind of fisherman guy, you know, down south kind of guy, just a really good guy. I really enjoyed playing with him. He's, again, was just a really good guy on the team. Just everybody liked him.
Karim Garcia.
He didn't play a whole lot. He was up and down a little bit, but I really like Karim. You know, we're both of Mexican descent. He's full-blooded. I'm like half. And so we had that little kind of thing in common. He's another guy that if he played today, if he was allowed to swing for the fences and not worry about striking out, he could hit 35, 40 home runs every year because he had a lot of power. But just like, again, when we played back in the 90s and 2000s, striking out was something that was very looked down upon. And if you had 100 strikeouts, it was a bad. You wanted to always try to have less than 100 no matter who you were. And 100 was a benchmark. Now it's like 200 is that same 100 level. So, yeah, I really like Kareem.
John McDonald.
Another utility dude. He was very young, too. And just anything Charlie said to do, he'd do. If he had to come in to bunt, he would. He was a great defensive player. He did a lot of defensive replacement at third base for Travis. Travis was getting older at the time, but he was just a really good guy. Again, another guy that everybody rooted for.
Milton Bradley.
He didn't play a whole lot when I was there. He was kind of, you know, up and down a little bit. I became friends with Milton. He, again, had a little bit of a thought people didn't like him for some reason. He was a little brash, and he came across that way at Oakland a little bit. But I got along with everybody, and I liked him, and I still to this day like him. And some people think that he had this attitude. I'm like, you know, he was a prideful person. He did have a lot of attitude because he cared, and he wasn't going to let anybody – disrespect him in any way. He's one of those guys, when you're young, when you come up in the major leagues, the veteran players can be kind of harsh and they can bust you up and make fun of you and treat you a certain way and feel like that they've earned that right because it happened to them. And he didn't really play that. He didn't care if you were a 10-year veteran, he was a 2-year veteran, you weren't going to treat him a certain way. And he just said, he's not having it. And if he had to fight you, he was going to fight you. He wasn't going to let you talk about him in any kind of way like that. So that can be misunderstood as arrogant or cocky, but I just think he was super prideful.
Mark Lewis.
Didn't really know him that well. He didn't play that much, so I don't really have to say about him.
Dave Roberts.
Another guy. He was just kind of up and down at that point in his career. A very nice guy. Him and I were very friendly together. I was so happy for him that he had a nice career, and then he went on to be the manager for the Dodgers. And you know, he's taken some criticism here or there, but he really is a good guy. And I promise you, nobody wants to win more than him. And I think what anything that ever hurt him was that he's a real loyal guy and that he really, like, say he wanted Clayton Kershaw to do something because he just wanted it so bad. Maybe he made a decision based on his desire for a guy to have this great postseason thing rather than play the safe way and just take a guy out or whatever. He was kind of more of a player's manager, and I really liked it.
Now the pitching staff, Bartolo Colon.
Very quiet guy, character. You know, he just quiet, unbelievably talented guy, threw 100 miles an hour. And it's funny, he was like the veteran pitcher, one of the veteran pitchers. He was our ace, and he was only like 25 or 26 years old at the time. But just so good, just threw 100 and had a great slider, great curveball, real competitor. I liked everything about him, too. You wanted him on the mound. He wanted, when it was a tough game, you wanted him on the mound.
C.C. Sabathia.
C.C. and I, to this day, are still friendly. I don't talk to him all the time. We occasionally talk to each other on Instagram and things like that. He couldn't even drink alcohol when he played with the Indians. And I say this a lot, if anybody asks me about that team. If it was C.C. 4 or 5 years later, we probably would have went to the World Series because we were just like one. He was really young. I mean, he might have just turned 20 when we got him win the playoffs. And so he was just such a young kid. He threw a lot, you know. And again, anybody that's that young that's going to be in the playoffs, it's going to be hard, and it's just a lot of pressure. And I think it just, if he had been 5 years in or maybe even less, that between Bartolo, him, Chuck Finley, that three there alone, and then Charles Nagy, that would have been enough to get to, because if you have two really good guys and then Finley was very good himself, that's usually enough to get you. We would have beat Seattle, and then it would have been a tough series with the Yankees to go to the World Series.
Dave Burba.
Burbs and I were very good friends. He's a nice guy. He loved me because it seemed like every time he pitched, I'd get 3 or 4 hits. So he was like, man, I'm so glad you're in the lineup today. Because he might have an ERA a little higher than others, but he had a pretty good record because we scored a lot of runs when he pitched. But, yeah, I still talk to him every now and then on social media, and we text each other every now and then. But, yeah, he was a great guy.
Chuck Finley.
Chuck and I are very, very close when we played. Funny story, if I'll tell you this story about Chuck and I, is we became friendly, and again, like I said, Teddy Walsh was the equipment guy, and we were all very close. And for All-Star break, he wanted to go to Vegas, so he was a veteran, big veteran player at the time, and he had chartered a plane to go home to Vegas. It was like a G5, a big private plane, and so as we were flying, it was him, his wife, and his two kids, and then me, Teddy, and I. And that the pilot had told us, we're coaching Chicago, and he's like, there's some really bad weather. Just be ready for some bumps. And when we hit that Chicago area, I never thought I was going to die before until this point. We hit the turbulence so hard that all the drawers flew out of the plane, all the food fell forward, the air conditioning thing above your head broke, fell down, hit me in the head. There's wires everywhere. The plane was doing things that I've never been in a plane doing, like almost turning sideways and back and forth, up and down. And literally we had turbulence for over an hour. We were dropping hundreds of feet, going up and down. I literally thought we were going to die. I looked at everybody in the plane was completely frightened, from the flight attendant. Even the pilots were shaken up. It made me say, I'll probably never fly in a small plane again. It was really the closest I've ever thought, like, we're going to die. This plane's going to crash. So that was a pretty funny story. But Chuck is a fantastic guy. He's down here in the Orange County area, and a competitor, a great pitcher. I really, really like Chuck. And I say a lot of these guys are great guys because they really were. It was one of the best teams I've ever played on and one of the best group of guys. We all got along really well.
Charlie Nagy.
Saw him in a golf tournament not too long ago. Another one of the nicest guys there are in the game. He's just super polite, super nice, total professional. Always looked perfect. He was like Rick Aguilera when I played with the Twins. The guy's always, hair is perfect, always dressed perfectly, speaks perfectly, just a very, very nice guy. He's like a politician. He's so nice and squeaky. I shouldn't say squeaky clean because not all politicians are, but he was very, very nice, nice person. And a great player, of course.
Bob Wickman.
Bob Wickman, that guy's a character. He was the biggest character on the team. I mean, he's just a lunatic. He just loved to torture. He tried to torture me every day, it seemed like. He was always messing with me. Always, I had to drive him to the airport, his car, so he could have his Bud Lights. He just, him and I had a unique relationship. He was just crazy. And he was, he's a very, very strong person. He may look like he's heavy. He's not. He's like all muscle, and he's missing like a part of his right pointer finger. That's why his ball moves weird ways. And he's just from Wisconsin. He's a truck driver, a Bud Light drinker, and just a crazy guy. I mean, he's just super, really weird personality. I could tell you stories, but I can't repeat them. But he's done some crazy things. He's a loose cannon. When we got John Rocker, I'm sure you're going to bring him up shortly. They kind of brought John Rocker over to be the closer, and he was our closer, and he seriously took offense to it, like made everyone know that he was not happy with that, including John. And to be honest, I like John too. We still communicate. John was a little bit scared of him, and I don't blame him, because Bob is a big, strong guy that, like, you could hit him over the head with a bat, and I don't think it would hurt him. And he would drink a few beers, and he would let anybody and everybody know on the bus how he felt about John Rocker trying to take his job and what he felt of John Hart for bringing him over. And, I mean, he was, yeah, very, very passionate guy.
Okay, John Rocker.
Yeah, I just kind of said that. Another guy, too. Him and I got along well, too. He said some dumb things that he probably regretted. Thought they were off the record, and they weren't. Maybe he just felt a certain way because he comes from an area that he does, and he didn't mean to say the things he said out loud, obviously. And if he felt those, I mean, it's unfortunate that he feels that way, but I don't think he genuinely feels like has that kind of a racism to him. I just think that sometimes when you're from the South and things are just said that way when you're down there, and a lot of times there's not a lot of thought to it. It's just maybe dumb banter. I don't know. He was, again, passionate guy. He threw 100 miles an hour and was a very, from the left side, very talented dude. It was hard for him to keep his emotions in check. That was one of the things maybe that shortened his career, is he was super awesome, super great, but then it just sometimes his emotions would get the better of him, and he had a little bit of a temper, and that might have been one of the things in baseball. It's such a long season, and there's so much ups and downs that you can't live high and then ride the ups and downs. It's like anything in life, the more even keeled you can be, typically the better off you'll be in the long run.
Jarrett Wright.
He was just a young guy at that time. Again, it's funny, I'm in Laguna Beach. He's in this area too. His name came up in some conversation that we have a mutual friend. And same thing. He had kind of, his career took off after I left there more. He was just a young guy that had a few starts here and there when he might even have been 19 years old when I played. And I knew of him because, again, he was single. I was single. We'd hang out. We'd go out a little bit. But I didn't really get to know him that well because we only played for part of the season together. He was up and down a little bit.
Ricardo Rincon.
Another kid. I played in the Mexican League with him after a double-A season, and we played in Guasave. And so I knew him from there. He's a lefty specialist and just another real quiet guy. Like him and Enar Diaz might hang out. His English wasn't great. He spoke Spanish mostly. He hung out with what they call the Conos or the Latino dudes. So, they'd make fun of me. Your name's Cordova, but you don't speak Spanish. My Spanish is brutal, but I can speak it better than most. Obviously, they don't know it at all. I'm better than, but they would say, like, you're a fake Cono. You're Latin, but you don't speak Spanish because my mother's is English and Norwegian. She's in German. She's white, doesn't speak Spanish. So it's kind of, I have a last name that would make you think I speak Spanish, but I didn't. But, yeah, he was a very, very cool dude, too.
Danny Baez.
Another guy who's Cuban. He was very quiet. His English was better than he let on. Like he would act like he didn't speak English very well, but he did. Him and I were friendly. We'd hang out occasionally too. Just super nice guy. Very talented as well. We have such a good team now that you're saying all these guys. I'm like, man, we had a really good team. I forget how good they were. I mean, every one of these guys that you're mentioning, I'm like, man, they're like all-star type players. But, yeah, he was just a guy from Cuba that I think he defected. I'm not sure if that's how we got to the Indians. But, yeah, what a – threw 100, great split, very good reliever. I thought he was a very good player.
We've had comments from Steve from Corvallis, Oregon, talked about Charlie Manuel, Lance from Winter Haven, Florida, Albert from Poway, California. Thank you. Joey from Bucks County, Pennsylvania. Our guest has been Mr. Marty Cordova, who played Major League Baseball from 1995 to 2003 with the Minnesota Twins, Toronto Blue Jays, Cleveland Indians, and Baltimore Orioles. I loved your description of all these guys because, you know, when you're a fan, you know, you were a teammate. So I love hearing the inside opinions and thoughts of guys to, for them to become more real to me. So I appreciate that. The time has flown. Mr. Marty Cordova, do you have any final words tonight for our audience?
Well, yeah, I gave a really cursory, you know, outline of these guys as players and a little bit about their personalities. But everybody, we had such a different relationship when you're there together for so many days in a row, and you really get to know people, and a lot of things happen. There's a lot of cool stories that we didn't have time to talk about. But, yeah, just I can't even tell you how happy I was to play on that team, to play in front of the crowd. We had sold out every game almost. And it just, the atmosphere was amazing. That's one of the best years of my life. I really had a good time playing in Cleveland.
Yeah, that was the golden era of Cleveland Indians baseball. Wonderful, and I thank you. So hopefully we'll have you on again. You can talk more about your teammates from other seasons with your other teams. Next week, so thanks again, Mr. Marty Cordova.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
Oh, thank you. Next week, we're going to have Mr. Bill North, the starting center fielder and leadoff hitter for the coolest MLB team of all time, the Oakland A's from the early 1970s, for the 21st time. Dear listener, may the road rise to meet you. May the wind be at your back. May the sun shine warm upon your face and rains fall soft upon your fields. And until we meet again, may God hold you in the palm of his hand. Good night, everybody. Thanks again so much, Mr. Marty Cordova.